Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight and we do thank you for bringing us here tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us near the cross. We pray, Father, that you keep us in a state of rest before you. We pray, Father, that you would help us to find peace in you, to have our hearts stilled before you. And we pray, Father, that you would help us tonight as we look into your word, that you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, and give to us your blessing. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, tonight we will be looking at Proverbs chapter 23. I feel that this is a good sort of continuation from last week with what Stephen went over, which was Proverbs 22:29, which says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." And in this verse, he pointed out the dignity of work and its divine design and how men are honored when they work hard and do well at what they do. The examples of Joseph and Daniel were looked at, who worked, who honored their superiors and showed themselves faithful and diligent and ended up from obscurity to serving in places of honor and position and status. These men sought to glorify God in their work and to display excellence in all they did. We have a lot of proverbs, other proverbs, that point us to the importance of work and diligence. We have Proverbs 10:4, which says, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." It also talks about the ant looking to the ant and how the ant diligently stores up food and saves for the winter. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor." And Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat." And then Proverbs 21:4, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit or advantage." And so we have all these other verses and throughout Scripture that encourage diligent and hard work to the point of profit. But here as we read these two verses tonight, if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, we'll look at those, we'll read those and then look into them. Verse 4 says, Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heavens." Now the question, I guess, is, does this in any way contradict the idea of hard work or profit or being rewarded for the diligence of your hard work? Does this in any way contradict or seem to run contrary to the idea of the dignity of work and working a hard day's work for an honest day's pay? Actually, if we look closer, it does not. As we look at the key here, it says, "Do not overwork or do not weary yourself to gain wealth." The key words in either translations we look at, either overwork or weary yourself to get rich, has to do with, it goes into 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. The issue is, what is our motive of work? Is our motive to honor the Lord, or is our motive to solely to get rich? And again, the key word here is overwork or wearying ourselves. And the question is, when do we cross the line from being diligent in our work and working hard to overworking or wearying ourselves? What are some indicators that maybe we have crossed that line or are crossing that line? Well, I wanted to just look at a few tonight, consider a few that I believe are backed up by Scripture. The first one would be envy or covetousness. As you see something that someone else has, perhaps, you know, a house or a car or status or someone's bank account or their net worth, and you become jealous or covetous of that status or what they have, and you feel that you must work hard on a consistent basis to get what that person has. And you feel like you're spending your life and days, weeks, months, years of toiling to get that item or that status. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy rots the bones." So when we are envious of other people, we are covetous of what they have, and we break commandments that we are not to covet, then that envy eats us alive. And then the second thing we would see is a preoccupation with saving or hoarding money. In Luke chapter 12, there's the parable that Jesus tells about of the farmer who filled his barns with grain, and he says, "I will build more barns and I will store more grain and I will keep building and building and build bigger barns." Then the Lord said, "You fool, tonight your soul will be required of thee, and then who shall have all of this?" And again, we see here not so much an issue of expansion or saving or investing, but rather there's almost becomes a sport of gaining wealth and gaining money, and it becomes an idol, where earning and saving money becomes the prize and it becomes almost a game. So the first thing is envy or covetousness, as we're looking at how we know when we are crossing the line from diligent hard work to that which is overworking or wearying ourselves. First is envy or covetousness. The second one is a preoccupation with the saving, where that becomes the goal, the idol, and the prize. The third thing would be a neglect of spiritual priorities. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And speaking of physical needs and so forth. So when our prayer life, our Bible study, our time with the Lord, fellowship with believers, sitting under the preaching of the word, serving others, when these things are replaced with work to the total exclusion of these things, then that would be another indicator that we are overworking, or that we are burdening ourselves, or that we are seeking, or that we are working simply to gain wealth. So envy, preoccupation with hoarding, making it an idol, and then neglect of spiritual priorities. And then fourth is a lack of sleep. If we turn to Psalm 127:2, we see this here, Psalm 127:2. It says, "It is vain for you to rise up early." Actually, let's look at verse 1, too. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Sleep is something that is necessary for our physical, mental, and spiritual health. We must get sleep. Our bodies require us to get sleep. Our brains have to get sleep in order to function properly. So a lack of sleep, working so much that we're lacking sleep, is a fourth indicator that we are overworking, or that we are trying to find wealth, or that we are trying to gain that just for the sake of wealth. The fifth indicator is no time for leisure or rest. God created the universe in 6 days and rested on the seventh to give us an example of taking time out. The land was also, as we look at Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7, the land was also to have a year of rest after 6 years of use in order for it to replenish itself. So, we don't want to become legalistic about it, but there should be time where we take rest. And of course, if we follow the model in the Bible, not that we have to be Sabbath of observers as they were in the Old Testament, but we should certainly take time out to rest. We should take a day to rest. So, no time for leisure or rest is another indicator. And then, of course, another indicator may be, that's not really, I don't have a biblical reference for this, but complaints from family members that you're working too much. So, envy, covetousness, preoccupation with saving and hoarding money, neglect of spiritual priorities, lack of sleep, no time for leisure or rest, and then complaints from others. Now, as we go back to Proverbs 23, it says, "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth, and cease from your consideration of it." Or, as the New King James says, "Because of your own understanding, cease." And also, the ESV says, "Be discerning enough to desist." The NIV says, "Have the wisdom to show constraint." Matthew Henry put it this way: "Those that aim at great things fill their hands with business more than they can grasp, so that their life is both a perfect drudgery and a perpetual hurry. But be not thou such a fool. What thou hast or doest, be master of it, and not a slave to it, as those that rise up early or sit up late to eat the bread of carefulness, all to be rich. Moderate labor that we may have to give is our wisdom and our duty." So working to provide for our needs, provide for our family, to have money to give, and also money to save for a rainy day, is all within the realm of what we're talking about here as biblical. Interesting then, in verse 5 it says, "When you set your eyes on it, it is gone, for wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heaven." Interesting here, it says, "When you set your eyes," the New King James says, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not?" The things that we see as we look at the physical realm around us, as we look at our houses, as we look at this building, as we look at our cities and all the things that we've created, as we look at our clothes, our cars, material things, it says, "When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. Will you set your eyes on that which is not?" And it is speaking that in light of eternity, these things are almost as if they don't even exist. They're not even here. They're going to be gone so quickly. It says, "We can see them in the physical realm, but how quickly they pass. It is as if they never even existed." Paul writes to Timothy that he should instruct those that are rich in this world not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives all things richly to enjoy. And you think about that word uncertain. Uncertain is certainly what riches are. And even if riches last us for our lives, the reality is either riches will be taken from us or we will be taken from riches. One of those two things is going to happen at some point in time. So, we are to enjoy our riches, but we are not to hang on too tightly to them. And then we see here, there's two illustrations that are given to describe how riches fly away, or how quickly they fade away. It says, first of all, that they will sprout wings. The fact that they will sprout wings is indicating of some type of almost like an inherent DNA that they have. Sprouting wings is something that you do. You think of a bird, perhaps, that grows wings. They sprout wings because that's what a bird does. They grow wings. They grow wings. Well, that's the way riches do. There's something about them that they simply, there's something inherent about them that they just want to go away. And we may try all kinds of things to hang on to our riches. We may try insurance, diversification of portfolios. But the reality is they are still temporary. Anything can take them at any given time. Invasions from other countries, invading armies can come in and plunder a nation. We've seen that throughout history, how quickly that can happen, where everything is just it's taken away like that. It's gone. It's possessed. We've seen pieces of that here in our country of market crashes, where money can just vanish. You know, especially in today's markets where everything is digital or online or on in the internet. We get maybe a bank statement. It's funny. I always like having paper myself. Not that that really says anything, but I like paper to see what I have to be able to say, I have this. I really do. It may be gone. They may say, sorry, it's gone. But at least I have my paper. Okay, show me your papers. You know. But anyway, thieves can break through and steal. You know. And what did Jesus say? He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupts, and where thieves break through and steal. And here Jesus is speaking of that same thing. He's speaking of that inherent thing of the temporariness of riches that moth and rust corrupts. Now, of course, when Jesus spoke about this, a lot of the money they had was, or the wealth they had was very physical. It was within them. A lot of times our wealth is, it could be in buildings, but a lot of times it's in the stock market, or it's on Wall Street, or whatever it may be. But still, the idea still prevails that moth and rust corrupts riches. And thieves can break through and steal. Governments can take it, whatever it may be. Therefore, it says, but do not lay up for yourselves treasures, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. That's really the only place that our money is safe, and that is in heaven, as we invest it in the kingdom. So the idea of sprouting wings indicates that something is inside of them, too, that they will, they're just the nature that they will decay or depart or slip away. But then there's a parallel thought to this that not only is a parallel thought, but it also expands on it, where it says, like an eagle that flies towards the heavens. So not only will they sprout wings so that they leave, but there's this picture of an eagle. And you think about an eagle with these incredibly powerful wings that can soar to heights that we can't even see them at because they become so small. And so you have this picture of this incredibly large bird forcefully and strongly lifting off the ground and flying away out of our sight, beyond our control. And that's the picture of riches, that they forcefully, strongly, in an irrecoverable way, fly towards the heavens, out of sight. So that is the way riches leave men. They leave us so that we cannot grasp them anymore. And the reality is, the more we set our hearts on them, the more grieved we become when they fly away. So the idea here again in this thing is to not push ourselves to the point of making ourselves ill or making ourselves weary to the point that we want to gain wealth. Because of these realities of the temporary nature of riches, that is why we are not to do this. And then if we do have the blessing to gain wealth, it says in 1 Timothy that we are not to set our hearts on them, that we are not to trust in them, that we are to use them, that we are to hold on to them loosely, so that, number one, we have the opportunity to give to others, and we have the opportunity also to bless others. So, you know, I think all of us here are, we could probably argue, by the world standards, are rich. I think everyone in this church, is, we could probably say, is rich. We may not always feel rich, but we in reality are, compared to much of the world. And so we must take this to heart as we look at what the Lord has given to us. Any questions or thoughts on that? Okay.